Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. You must be 21 or older.
Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good, good pals, Dave Damaschek and Martin Weiss.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points Podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you on a Tuesday morning. Yeah, spaghetti and meatballs here, fiddling with the knobs. Babyface Joel Solomon is producing this disaster. And joining me as always, my dear, dear pals, Dave Damaschek, Martin Weiss. What a morning. Wow, we haven't even fired it up yet. And Steve Nash canned TJ Hawkinson on the move. I'm 11 mini Yamanjoys in, and I'm ready to rock, fellas.
Wait a second. We haven't even farted it up yet?
Huh?
Is that what you said? I thought that's what you said. Maybe the Yamanjoys are making you fart.
Fired it up. I read Steve Nash fired. I got okay. Yes. I haven't fired it up either. Yeah. Yeah. I'm dipping Yamanjoys in my coffee and everything this morning. So I'm a little loopy. I don't know. Should teachers like send our kids to school with like $80? Should they get an extra? They should get a bonus today for watching these little monsters, sugared up monsters. Like kind of when you like screw up a hotel room, you're like, all right, I got to leave $20 for the housekeeping here. This is a terrible day for teachers, isn't it?
I mean, obviously we need as a society to install a Friday night or Saturday night Halloween law.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody belly aches about that. And I guess there are bigger fish to fry. I don't know if you heard it's election season, but wouldn't that at least be a valuable chip to be a politician and offer up? If I win, I will see to it that it is at least in our region of America. It's a holiday on Saturday nights or Friday.
On Saturday. Some cities, I think, do that. They allow the trick-or-treating. Yeah, well, my father, and unironically asked, he's like, hey, why don't you send the kids out Saturday trick-or-treating? It'll be, it won't be as crowded. And I'm like, that's funny. He's like, no, honestly. I was like, well, the people won't be ready for that. I guess we could send them out in March, too. No crowd at all.
But. Oh, boy. That's great out of context. Just knocking some weird little gremlin standing on your porch in a costume for no good reason. Creepy indeed.
Martin, did you dress up yesterday?
No, but I also didn't. I just went to work, and at 4 o'clock in the morning, I just dressed up like somebody who's trying to get paid.
That's the thing. You should have taken a kid. That's the funny thing, I think. Go trick-or-treating at 4 in the morning and see who answers and see how furious they get at like 7-year-olds. They can only be so angry, right? But it is still 4 in the morning. I always wanted to do that as a hidden
But that's a great idea. And what's a bad idea, I'm sorry to say, Marty Weiss is not dressed as a leader of a pro football team. Look at that backwards hat. He's like Romo or Stafford. Those guys never win anything when you wear your hat backwards.
Is that the backward gold cap? Is that the gold cap?
It's a gold cap, man. I've had back-to-back 6 and 8 weeks on the picks. I'm trying to shake it up. I got to do something different. You know, I'm not, you know, I got to shake up the juju. And check, you tried so hard to mush me. And that's something, you know what?
You're right. No, I supported
you
better.
I would think you did it on accident. But because I know you, I know it was on purpose. You saw it coming somehow. Because, you know, my TV is 4 plays behind in general. So you saw PJ Walker launch that thing to DJ Moore. And you got your tweet off right before he ripped his helmet off and went into the stands, of which seemed to be one of the more innocuous celebrations that I've seen of the weekend. Like, that's would crazy. Be the one to cost you a game or to cost you the opportunity to kick an extra point. Right at the appropriate place.
No, but what you're talking about is instead of the inside baseball, let's talk about what you're getting at there. I tweeted you. You said, I think it was 2 weeks ago, if not 3 weeks ago, that you placed a futures bet on the Atlanta Falcons to win the NFC South. And I said, that's a fun bet. It's a crazy bet. I mean, ultimately, that's not going to work out. Looks pretty good right now. So muzzle stuff is the bottom line.
We'll get to that. Well, Martin's got every team in that division. He roots for the Saints. We all thought the Bucks. Now he's got the Falcons. But the Panthers are the only team. The Panthers, the team that deserved to win. My God, with that celebration. And by the way, I have it on good authority that there are actual referees in the league that said, well, that was the wrong call. He was off the field. I don't know if we're going to get to a point where we're replaying these. We're challenging these calls, replaying, seeing if the guy's feet were inbounds or in the end zone when he we removed the helmet. Are we going to get to that? It's craziness. We were saying like you could do like a choreography of the Sound of Music in the end zone, and it's okay. But a guy takes his helmet off, it doesn't work. But anyway, back to what you were saying, Martin. Yes, you had a great lead on everybody. Now I think you're two games back in the extra point staff. Harry and Kevin Hench are tied for the lead. Brother Bry is one back. Sheck, it was me, it was you, it was Megan Connolly at 8-6. Parley Kid and Brother Bry with 10-4. Hench, Jen, Martin, Eddie, Megan Galey, 6-8. Harry 9-5 and Will 7-7. So that's where we are. Martin, don't give up. Long season.
But only two games back right now.
I think so. I think that's what
okay, it is. Okay, two games. All right. But I didn't know. I just because Meatballs didn't he only did the top three, so I was concerned. I know that two people were tied.
You're not on the podium yet. Yeah, but yeah, get there.
I'm like last year's Cincinnati Bengals. Started out hot. I had a little bit in the middle, like me, Joe, and Jamar had a little bit of a trouble connecting. Don't worry. By the time the holidays hit, I'll be right back hitting at the top of that thing.
Well, we're going to get to this year's Cincinnati Bengals. I do want to congratulate Matt Bluth or Bluth. This is interesting, Chuck, because we have a Blute friend that's named Bluth. But B-L-U-T-H, what would you say? What are we going with?
Well, whichever would annoy him more. That's always okay. My rule, you know.
All right. Well, he's won $100. That's not too annoying. Extra points, pick 'em winner, 11 right. Good job by you. So let's talk about the Browns and Bengals. I did have the Browns. I didn't have a great reason for it. I know the Bengals had lost. Well, that was my pup, right? That was my pup of the week. The Bengals have now lost 13 in a row on the road primetime games. That shouldn't matter when they line up and get on the field. But, boy, they got beat up, Sheck. 32-13. Jacoby Brissett, 278 and a touchdown, plus one rushing. Chubb over 100. Cooper, 131. They dominated time of possession, 36-23. Dominated first downs, 24-15. And Joe Burrow was sacked five times. And this is why you can't trust the Bengals week in, week out, because he's going to get sacked between 3 and 11 times. And he might turn it over once or twice.
But I'll say that I was wrong about this game, of course. I thought that Jacoby Brissett, everybody keeps making the hilarious joke about that this guy or that is going to turn into a pumpkin around Halloween. I thought Jacoby Brissett did that a couple of weeks ago.
He did.
And yet they win the game. And as we try to continue, we keep trying to figure out week after week, month after, what are the through lines of success for gambling and for pro football teams and otherwise? And I guess it is the mini era of head-to-head matchups should not be ignored, the results of those. Kyle Shanahan owns Sean McVay. We saw that on Sunday, why we all didn't pounce on the Browns, who have, for whatever reason, pushed around the Bengals the last couple of years. I think that was the bet we should have made, I guess. So we should track these things within the divisions going forward in the second half of the NFL and abide by them, because it seems like it pays off pretty consistently.
I guess so. But then you would just pick Belichick every week against whoever, because you're basing it on all the Tom Brady years. But no, I know what you're saying. We could pull these out. Hey, Martin, your Weiss advice hit yesterday, right? What was your over prop?
Unfortunately, it didn't. I had Joe Mixon over receiving yards. It's remarkable. Oh. I've had a really good betting season so far this year, like against the spread totals, and I try to do this little freaking prop on Monday night, and I was just 0-7 so far. I mean, it's insane, and it's not like he didn't have the touches. Like, he had 4 or 5 receptions in which I'm like, oh, just make one guy miss, Joe. Just make one guy miss, and that's 10 yards. That's all I need. I needed 21 yards, and he had like 5 catches for like 16 total. But he only had 35 yards on the game. He only had like 20. He didn't have a lot of yards.
I think 27 rushing. Yeah, he didn't. I mean, that's where you thought they would keep it close. My God. But anyway, so the Browns, I mean, it was a must win for the Browns. You go to 6 losses, Shaq, after 8 games. Doesn't matter who you have coming back week 12. But I would say the big winner over the last 8 days in that division is the Ravens.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go back. They beat the Browns. Then they learned that Jamar Chase is out 4 to 6 weeks for the Bengals. Then they beat the Bucks last Thursday. Then they trade for Robert Quinn. They're getting some defensive guys back. The Bengals lose to the Browns, and they lose Chidobe Awuzie to a torn ACL. That division, I know there's like prohibitive winners already with the Bills and the Vikings. I don't know. A division you always feel comes down to week 18 is pretty much settled if the Ravens stay healthy, minus 360 to take the AFC North. I'm not
look at their schedule.
Else.
Look at right. Oh, of course not. Look at what the Ravens have left on the schedule. There's very little resistance there. You said Robert Smith. You meant Roquan Smith. Robert Quinn. Yes. You meant Roquan
right,
Smith.
Right. That's what I meant.
But yeah, I mean, I think that that was a significant win that the Ravens scratched out last week. You know, when they kind of found or returned to their ID of just banging you around a little bit. And it's just such a different style of ball. Even when you look at what the Eagles are doing too, that's our recurring point here. Eddie Spaghetti was in on that several weeks ago too, that in the QB league, I don't know why in 2022 that all bets are off. It's not, I guess if you have
Wait, Josh Allen, off? The bets are off.
I guess so, because the Patrick Mahomes doing? And Josh Allen notwithstanding, it's not if you have the best quarterback, whether or not you win games. Now, Lamar Jackson, bottom line is, I'm sorry, I'm babbling around here, but yes, the bottom line, yes, I agree with you. Yes, the Baltimore Ravens, clear cut, prohibitive favorite the rest of the way.
You talked about their schedule, too, in the next month. All right, at Saints Monday night, that could be fun. Home against the Panthers, at the Jaguars, home against the Broncos, and then at your Steelers. Oh, man, that 3-2 at worst, I think, and then widening the lead against the Bengals, probably 4-1, Martin. Yeah, all bets are off thing. You just meant that you didn't mean that literally.
Not
right?
literally. Not okay. literally, no.
If that's the case, then we should all go back and replay some futures. Sal, you have like 13 running backs that still have to go under.
That's true, yes. And I also, in a few minutes, have like a six-minute read for Caesars. Includes all these 1-800 numbers and everything. That won't even matter. But no, all right, the bets are back
on. Futures, man. I go through those conference and Super Bowl futures. There's some intriguing stuff in there. We poured over there. It was on -3 earlier in the week, and I encourage you to do it.
You encourage everyone to go over 5.5 Steelers wins, and it's still 5.5. Yeah. Where are you now on that? You're still over 5.5?
I'm a little surprised it didn't drop a little bit, but yes, at +100, I mean, I think that it is a certainty that mm-hmm. happens. I really love the Steelers over 5.5 the rest of the way. Go through their schedule. I mean, they're going to scratch out certainly.
Go through their schedule. Who do they have to win? Who should I see on that schedule that they have to beat?
I get that their offense is an atrocity. I'm not going to attempt to explain that away, but they're supposed to be, as has been the case for the last 8 months, nay, for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. They're a defense dominant team without their key piece. TJ Watt's going to return after the bye. They're going to be a different team. They're going to win a minimum of 4 games. I think you can make that bet and feel nice and safe. You can spend that money on Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa presents now.
Speaking of Hanukkah, Babyface Joel Solomon said you contradicted yourself. I don't even remember what it was, Babyface, now with the TJ Watt stuff. I'd mentioned that he should play if he can, and Check said he shouldn't. What was it? I don't remember.
No, he should play.
I think Dave wanted him back after the bye to rest up.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have made a difference in that game. But no, I think, Dave, that's then you said he should play if he could go. But obviously,
on the podcast, he said he shouldn't play this week, last week. But then he tweeted that he should.
I did?
You know how he shouldn't He's big play? Into making sure that guys get the right debut. Make sure they come back into the right scenario, as if like playing a football game is just you can script it perfectly for TJ Watt or for Kenny Pickett or for whatever Steeler is going to get thrown back into the mix.
I don't know what that means. I mean, maybe you can disprove it with a sound bite, and then I'll stand down. But I don't think so. I mean, the NFL.
Well, I remember Martin saying Martin was saying they can't win without him. This is a guy they can't win without. And I was like, yes, they should play him. He's back in practice, and you're like, oh, he's not going to play. He shouldn't play yet. He's not ready. I think that's kind of what it was. It doesn't matter.
Dave, really you always shut it down. Wait another week to get the bye coming up, and then it's Thursday night, and then Sunday night, and 13 more days to get ready, and then you'll have the reigning defensive player of the year back on the base of the Three Rivers, and then, of course, over 6.5 is Mike Tomlin.
I think that's what it sounded like. One thing's for sure.
I don't know what the blathering is about.
Thank you, Martin, for pulling up that.
Martin did isolate it. One thing's for sure, Shaq, or not for sure.
Joe with his mighty swings and misses is an attempt to get me all the time. Are very strange. I don't get it.
What are you talking about? You've been saying, "Oh, they're going to turn it around for 2 years, Dave," and we are yet to turn this ship around. This black and gold.
They made the playoffs last year. You weirdo.
They got smoked. They got Tomlin's, absolutely embarrassed.
You wouldn't bet on Tomlin's streak, though, at this point, right? To go over 8.5.
I don't think it's a really big stretch that they would win seven of their last nine.
Spaghetti's back from Seattle. I know I heard him speak about the trip on -3. His Giants lost to the Seahawks. Spaghetti, the weather wasn't too bad. Was it a fun experience overall? You promised to get in a fight and you didn't, I don't think.
I didn't. I did not promise that because I don't get into fights. It's a weird misconception that you portray about me. I love Seattle. My second time there. Great, great time. Great venue. Awesome area to go see a game. I truly recommend it for any football fan. The Giants were banged up. You know, losing Evan Neal the week prior, and then having to deal with more practice squad guys. Obviously, the weather was not really a factor in the game. Richie James though decides to fumble twice, gives the Seahawks a really good field position, loses the Giants two offensive possessions, also a personal foul penalty on another punt return that lost him about 40 yards of field position. So special teams really was the flare up that caused him to lose. This is like more of a Joe Judge Giants kind of thing that would happen. But again, bye week, they need that. Saquon's shoulder is really pretty bad. If you saw in the game, Matt Breida was in like blocking downs that Saquon normally would do. That's how they kind of like healed Saquon, was pulling him off the field and blocking down. So they need this bye terribly. And then having the Texans, who may be trading Brandon Cooks, having the Lions, who are firing coordinators, and they just traded Hockenson. So in 3 weeks from now, being 8-2 is going to be pretty good. So no complaints there. Yeah.
All right. Well, they do have some easy games on their schedule. Is it really, though, a weird misconception, me thinking that you could maybe get into a fight? I mean, you're one of the mouthiest fans I know, honestly, just based on that. Is that wrong? Check. Am I wrong?
It's no one would agree. And no one that knows me would agree with you with that.
If you wilt like a flower when you're around people at games, that's one thing. But going into check,
I did not speak to a single Seahawks fan the entire time.
Okay, well that's weird. Well, that's the weird part.
Jose Altuve wasn't there in the Geno Smith jersey.
Shaq, am I weird to think that he would never get in a fight based on,
I defer to the hilarious people on this show. I'm going to let them do all the funny stuff from here on out.
Okay, good. This is a fun part. All right. I'm going to give everybody a bunch of Almond Joys. I'm going to start over. All right, let's start this, though. In honor of Halloween last night, the festivities, at the midseason mark, what, Martin, would you say is the strangest thing you've seen from the NFL over the first 8 weeks?
The strangest thing I've seen from the NFL is the 2 week period for the Chicago Bears, where they just like the idea that the last week the Bears were playing to be a .500 team against the Cowboys. Like they had that 2 week stretch where they beat the Patriots. Like that, I think, is the weirdest. Like the weirdest result.
They came like 480 yards rushing or something crazy in 2 weeks against the Pats.
The things I had no expectation for and couldn't plan for. The Giants being 6-2 right now is another one. I know that's not, but I don't want to stoke Eddie back because the last time I said the Giants were going to lose, he said it didn't matter because the Evan.
It does. You can say it. Say what you want. Well, he's not going to fight you. We know that.
Yeah, okay, that is true. This is the last time I picked against the Giants, he was like, how could you do that? It's like, you don't watch the Giants. And I said they were banged up. It's the first thing he just said. So I guess him watching the Giants in person may have changed his opinion. But no, I'd have to go with the – yeah.
All right. The Bears, yes. I picked the Bears. One of my many terrible picks, the Bears to have the worst record. I mean, what were we going to do? It was either the Bears rebuilding or Seahawks rebuilding, okay? But whiffed on those two.
I think the Bears are still the worst team in football. Just somehow
it's going to be the Texans, though, wins. I think. The Texans will end up. I don't think there'll be a team with two wins like we've seen in the past. Number one draft team getting two wins. But I think it'll be the Texans. Check. Weirdest thing, strangest thing you've seen over the NFL?
Well, I don't know how it's anything other than Geno Smith at this advanced point in his career that he is halfway decent, let alone, I mean, maybe it's a little bit of a reach to talk MVP, but what if he, I mean, talk about the disparity between season win total, as you say, what we were all betting on as a team and where the Seahawks are now. And it has, you know, I mean, obviously they drafted great and the defense is way better and Pete Carroll still being there, let alone keeping this team relevant. It's crazy stuff, but it's all about Geno Smith. Geno Smith is one of the more impactful players in a positive way in the year of the Lord 2022.
Inexplicable. It is incredible. It really is inexplicable. The yes for the Seahawks to make the playoffs on Caesars is plus 120 at this point. I know you could have fun with them to win the division too, which is nice odds. Yes, Geno Smith is about sixth or seventh on the MVP list, according to Caesars. And yeah, it's bizarre because even, I remember we were joking about they hadn't even played yet and the whole NFC West had gone 0-1 on Sunday. We're like, just hang on, Pete Carroll, you can win this division. And then they go Monday and they beat Denver, which seemed monumental at that point. But then they lose their next two. It's like, okay, everything's right now. Seahawks are the Seahawks. And now they're kind of on fire. That was an impressive win over the Giants. I can make fun of spaghetti all I want, but that's a good Giants team that they beat and they handled in the fourth quarter. So yeah, I would say that's strange.
And the only thing you can't, the other side of that coin is it just at this point so rote, it doesn't even need to be brought up, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and Russell Wilson all stink. I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy.
You might want to throw Stafford in there, too. You might want to throw Stafford in there. I was looking at the preseason odds for Stafford, Brady, and Rodgers to not make the playoffs. And whatever, one of them probably will or two. Maybe one, I think. But 68-1, if you would have bet that. Would you take 68-1? I mean, I would take that obviously right now. But it is tough. We'll talk about Tampa. The strangest thing I've seen, it could be Tom Brady or Kirk Herbstreit's new faces. I don't know what they did, but I won't say that. I'm going to say, I don't even want to
say
this out loud.
Please don't say that. I'm glad you didn't, but you're too classy to bring that up.
I don't want to put that at the top of the list. It's amongst the top, but and I don't want to say this out loud. Mike McCarthy hasn't blown a game yet. I know I'm jinxing it, but we're halfway through the season, and I can't fault him for the two losses or, you know, trying – come close to any of the six wins, but that's what I would say. Mike McCarthy not blown. Now, nobody listened to that because I know that is a complete jinx right there. All right, what are we doing? Martin, give us your meatheads of the week. This is Martin's meathead. Gives us some options. Check and I pick. We go along with his or we go off the board.
I got number one is probably who I think should be the next coach fired in the NFL right now. It's Dan Campbell. 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago against the New England Patriots, he said they had hit rock bottom as formerly unknown Bailey Zappi had a beautiful debut, scoring 29 points and the Lions scoring none going into the bye. Since that moment, 3 weeks ago, they're 0-2 and the Lions have been outscored 35-0 in the second half of both games, which were actually winnable. So he's number one because he – as somebody who's backed the Lions the last 2 weeks, it's been terrible.
Okay.
Josh McDaniels going and apologizing after the game to Raiders fans, saying, like, Raider Nation deserves better. Like, I'm concerned now, seriously, about this guy. Like, we drafted Tim Tebow, and then he quit on Indianapolis, and now he's apologizing to fans 7 games into his Raider tenure. I'm not sure that this is off to a great start. And they scored no points against a team, which, I mean, like they've said it all year, the Saints have been one of the most injured teams in football. That's why they have the record that they have. But ultimately, I think this is my
number. No, I feel like no team should get shut out anymore, and especially when they hand it off once in the second half, the Raiders did. It's pass, 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 and you still can't score? Ridiculous. But go ahead. Who's number three?
For all those passes, Devonta Adams with 3 catches, like that's our 3 targets. Like, there you go. Justin,
I think he had the flu. He had the flu and almost wasn't even going to play. But yeah, all right.
Justin Fields jumping clear over Micah Parsons instead of touching him down, which single-handedly cost any chance of the Bears, A, either winning the game or covering the 11. Right then in that moment, and Micah Parsons gets up and turns into Zeke from 3 years ago and runs it into the end zone.
Yeah.
He intentionally jumps over him like he's playing at Ohio State still, and he's down by contact because he hit the ground. Like, it was, I couldn't understand it by one bit. All he had to do was just literally kick him, and we're right back in business.
All right. I'm not going to give Justin – I won't agree with that because he's he actually did well against the best defense of the millennium. So, yeah, that one play was rough for sure, and it helped the Cowboys cover. I will go with your Josh McDaniels. If anything, he should apologize to those who had the Raiders minus 1.5, who had the Raiders plus 7.5 on an adjusted teaser, who had the Raiders plus 10.5 on an adjusted parlay, namely me. I dropped thousands on that Josh McDaniels thing. I wish him many more closed door meetings with what's his name? Davis, Mark Davis, and that hair. Yes, he should have to stare at that hair every week for the rest of eternity, for God's sakes. Yes, Josh McDaniels, my pick. Check out of those.
I could not take somebody seriously. I don't care how much money you got. I know you're my boss and all, but like, if I'm getting like reamed by this guy who literally puts a bowl on his head and takes the takes scissors and cuts around that bowl, like, I just be like, man, like, let's go to the barbershop and then we can have a conversation.
It'd be funny if it goes on during the sit down. It really would. It's like he's getting his haircut. That would really throw people off. Check, do you agree with any of those?
Yeah, well, certainly the first two. And the Josh McDaniels, by the way, that's the second time in his first season as the head coach of an NFL team he's apologized to the fan base. He did it with the Broncos as well.
Right.
So bad trend there. I'm going to go off the board here, though. I'm going to go with Dabo at Clemson. We talk about the pox that's on, or at least we used to perceive to be true about Alabama running backs and Alabama quarterbacks and Ohio State quarterbacks. What about what's going on at Clemson there? Consider Taj Boyd at one point was considered to be a prospect for the NFL. That didn't work out. Deshaun Watson is a wreck of a human being. And now you have Trevor and DJU. I don't know exactly what's going on there. You're going to buyer beware, caveat emptor, anybody who drafts DJU. And in the meantime, you have Trevor Lawrence. I find this a remarkable streak that is about to be broken. The scouts were right about Elway and Peyton and Luck. What gives now? By this point, the can't miss guy shouldn't be missing as much as he is. Trevor Lawrence is another weird one. I'm blaming the head coach down at the college ranks, Dabo Sweeney.
I have a guy who's a scout in the league, and I texted watching that national championship game between Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. I'm like, why does everybody think that Trevor Lawrence is better than Justin Fields when I'm watching Justin Fields run around with broken ribs, delivering balls on time? And Trevor Lawrence just doesn't. But he's like, he agreed with me. But I of those second-year quarterbacks, to me, Justin Fields is the only one that I would want right now.
Well, it's weird now. Now it's, you got the Herbert, you got the two in the Burrow class, but now there's about nine quarterbacks who have not they haven't stood out. And right, Martin, I think we all would have had Fields at the bottom of that list a year ago today, and now I think he's the top, but still not excited about any of those quarterbacks. The thing I'll say, Shaq, Trevor Lawrence ran in college. I don't know what happens to some of these guys when they go to pros, but that's what we liked about Trevor Lawrence. We were talking about this on Against All Odds. He had 563 rushing yards in 2019 for Clemson, right? Isn't that the dimension of Trevor Lawrence that's missing? And maybe it's because of the Jags offensive line. I don't know if that'll ever be great, but we're not seeing that. That's 30% of what we liked about Trevor Lawrence in college, isn't it?
I don't know what goes on with that particular kid, but it is funny. I always think that it's, or I used to always think, well, that the head coach or the OC at the NFL level is discouraging running. Hey, you're the franchise. We can't get you hurt. So please eat the ball. Do not run around a lot. Yeah. But as it turns out, if you talk to guys in the league, they're just some percentage of quarterbacks, understandably, who don't want to get hit by 275-pound guys consistently. They're a lot of, why don't you run? Why isn't that guy? Why aren't the Dolphins running Ryan Tannehill? Why aren't the Tennessee Titans running around Marcus Mariota more? As it turns out, anecdotally, some guys don't like to run because there's a collision on the other side of it.
All right. But that's why they were, it's part of the greatness of what they were drafted. Right. It's like buying a Billy Joel concert ticket. And he's like, what? You're not going to do Piano Man? It's like, no, no, can't do it. I don't know. You're shutting down a major, he had 17 rushing touchdowns in his last 2 years at Clemson. So
I think there's a difference, so though, between like Trevor Lawrence is athletic enough, sure. But I think there's a difference between guys like, who are in kind of those option offenses like Trevor Lawrence was, and guys who are, I'm not saying Trevor Lawrence isn't athletic, but a guy like Justin Fields is ultra athletic, where like he, like Trevor Lawrence, the only position he would play in football is quarterback, right? But could still run. Whereas Justin Fields, theoretically, has the speed and size to have played another position at some other point in time and is playing quarterback now. I think that that is the difference that,
why are you able to see that and the scouts can't? Like, shouldn't that factor into where Trevor Lawrence goes in a draft? Like,
he should. I think ultimately some guys just don't care. If you see a guy who can make all the throws, it's like you don't draft a quarterback to run. It'd just be, I think it'd be an addition.
All right. It was a pretty big part of his resume. So now what was his trade, babyface? Hockenson to Minnesota. I feel like great for the Vikings, but also they got a ton of picks here, right? All right, Minnesota sends a 2023 second round pick, a 2024 third round pick, and 2023 fourth round pick, and a 2024 conditional fourth round pick. Check. What's weird to me is fire sale for the Bears, fire sale for the Lions in a year that the Packers are not going to come close potentially to winning the division. Isn't it weird? I know it was a two-horse race anyway, probably going in, but none of this helps the Packers, and it certainly doesn't help if one of these pieces goes to the Vikings.
It does help one Aaron Rodgers, though. He did his part in the offseason. He got that weird tattoo that featured not one but two lions' heads. What else can he tell you? Oh. They're Gutekunst. But Gutekunst, once again, wants to scuttle Aaron's success, doesn't he? I mean, that'll be the story after the season, that Rodgers was let down by people other than himself. That's his ongoing thing for his career. But in the broader picture, I don't understand what these teams are doing. I mean, this is not baseball where you're talking about prospects at 18 and they're going to grow into it in 5 years, or hockey. This is a right now league. What more do you need to see than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning the Super Bowl 2 years ago and giving up whatever it took to get Tom Brady, and the reigning champs, the LA Rams, constantly trying to just give up? I mean, at this point, now the report is on Tuesday that the Rams offered two first round picks to get Brian Burns, the edge rusher from Carolina, right, of course. And it begs the question, and everybody is asking, is where the hell did the Rams get two first round picks at this point? Always. They just give them all away. It's right now. That's the only thing that matters. That's why I discount the TJ Watt stuff, because I've consistently said it's right now. Play for this week and play for this season, and shame the devil if you're looking ahead to a year or three.
Well, but you can't blame the Lions and the Bears for not recognizing your right now point of view. It's right now. Great job by the Vikings picking, you know, making the pieces work and everything. But I don't blame the Bears and the Lions for getting draft picks.
It's kicking the can. It's a phony sense of
11 games. We're into the season enough to see that these teams are not going to make the playoffs.
Yeah. The notion that you're going to solve things by kicking the can down the road, by creating this false, believe me, I'm a Pittsburgh Pirates guy. I'm not a fan per se at this point. I've been burned too many times. But this idea of like, we're just going to, next, don't worry, we're going to rebuild now. You've been rebuilding for the last 50 years, for goodness sakes. I mean, this idea that you're going to give up an asset like TJ Hockenson, I don't know what the next 3 months look like for TJ Hockenson and the Lions relationship. It's just loco to give away talent like that in a win-now league.
Giving away talent. And because there's a good, all right, so it's a win-now league for half of the league, though, because the other half of the league can't win now. Like, the Lions can't win. There's no logical path where the Lions are making the playoffs from this position right here. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, if this was August, I would agree with you, right? Like, all right, everybody's got a shot. But, yeah, like Martin says, I think the Lions are out of it. I think the Bears are out of it. What I'm looking at is, should I hate the Vikings because Harry likes them so much, inexplicably, but at 6-1 to win the conference, Shaq, you went over it on -3. It's the Eagles. It's the Niners, maybe. I mean, we still have to count on McCaffrey playing injury-free football, right?
Cowboys are in there. Maybe the Vikings, who are freaking, they're going to run away with that. I mean, they might compete for that one seed. And if not, they'll get a home game or two. 6-1 might not be bad now, as I look at it.
Well, you know, my another recurring theme for Dave. I love a postseason based on merit. That means fewer playoff teams. Instead, the NFL chasing ratings like every other league does. College football's doing it too, and the March Madness is going to expand as well now. Everything's about getting as many teams as possible in. This dilutes the head-to-head games and the ability. It's awfully easy to look at and say, Bills or Chiefs versus the Eagles right now. But there's some juicy plays out there that, hear me now, believe me later, you had a wild card Bungles team play the third seed Rams in the last Super Bowl. So the idea that the teams that are now the prohibitive favorites are going to wind up in the Super Bowl is a faulty play there. Look at the Dolphins. I think they're one of those teams out there that, you know, I don't know what our collective perception is of them because of the Tua injury. But remember, when Tua's been in there, saved the game against Pittsburgh, where he was still probably playing a little scared there. That team is legit and up there with every other team, but way down there in terms of, a great value to play them to win the conference potentially. And laugh now, but Joe Burrow did it, you know, 8 months ago.
Yeah, I agree. But it's not going to be the Lions and Bears. So, yeah, somewhere in there.
All you got to do right now is look at Seattle and all these other teams that are taking advantage. Or look at the Pelicans in the NBA. When you can take advantage of a team that has a win-now mandate and you have an asset that's overvalued, like T.J. Hockenson isn't in the top 5 of tight ends in the league. Top 10, sure. But if you can swap your picks for next year and pick up another one, like,
well, the problem is we find
Russ and all the picks that they got and just draft well.
We find flaws in everybody, in every team. And I think the reason to settle on the Bills and the Eagles is a very, very few holes to poke at. And with those two specifically heading it. But I agree. Definitely happens in the next 3 months.
I think the other team that's slightly undervalued, the Ravens are, and I'm waiting for those futures numbers attached to them to change and the odds to get shorter for the Ravens. Because like we say, they're going to take a run now at the number one seed in the AFC from here on out. I think I know they're down Rashad Bateman for the next several weeks, so that's bad. But I do think that finding their identity and beating up whoever they're playing is a good play. The other team is your Dallas Cowboys, Sal. They're weird. It's because Dak sat down for that stretch, and I don't know how we perceive them, but their defense dominant, and now they have their superstar quarterback, and also. Jerry Jones can say what he wants about Zeke is the man and all that kind of stuff. And he does have value. I don't think he's finished. But Tony Pollard's the guy who's got to get the majority of the touches.
Fine.
That's a tough team to stop, right? Those Eagles, Cowboys.
Everyone goes at Zeke for this. Tony Pollard's not going to get 25 carries a game. He's not that kind of running back. He had 14 carries. He had 14 carries. When you watch him with the ball, he's great. He glides. You know, more smoothly than Zeke. Zeke's a better blocker. I like what they're doing. It's unfortunate Zeke is getting paid so much more than Pollard when you look at the stats, but that's just how it is. But I don't want to jinx it. I do. Like I said, I would have taken 6-2 going into the bye before the season started, right?
And keep in mind, too, considering Dak was out. This is such a weird ball. This is such a weird curveball of a year based on what we've seen the last decade or whatever. But still, defenses tend to turn it on in the second half of an NFL season. The Cowboys are already a dominant defense. If they tune it up even more and, pressure on the passer becomes even more important than it already is in the back half of the season, man. Look out for your team.
I like it.
It seems like the NBA trade deadline because people are actually getting moved. Chase Claypool, Pittsburgh backup quarterback, apparently, from that touchdown pass that he threw yesterday. He's traded now to the Chicago
Bears. Oh, he was?
Is he?
To who?
Chicago Bears.
Well, how does that make sense? What is Chicago doing?
Look, Chicago,
take out my tent, Martin, and we would just look like dopes there, Martin. We just said the Bears, it's a fire sale.
It's a fire sale, but ultimately what I think it means is they believe that Justin Fields is their guy. right? Like, that's why you, if you're trading all these defensive pieces away, I think that if they think the way that I think, that of the second year guys that are quarterbacks, we got ours. Right. So let's see if we can get Chase Claypool, who is another guy who had some flashes in Pittsburgh as a big play threat before they went and got Pickens and Deontay Johnson kind of outshined them. Like, I don't hate it. You got him.
What did they give up, Spaghetti? Well, it depends what they gave up. I have wide receivers. It's so weird what they fetch these days. What are they reporting, Spaghetti? Did they say yet?
Yeah, I haven't seen it. It just came out like 35 seconds ago.
You made it up? Yeah.
No.
You're right. All right. Well, get back to us on that.
And get a second for him. That it would not make sense to me if they don't get a second in return for him.
Really?
Yeah, Joel put in the chat, Field Gates just tweeted out all caps, but there was no picks involved. Just as breaking Bears trading for Chase Claypool per source. That's
All right.
They threw Steely McBeam also. They're including Steely.
I can't. Nothing would surprise me. I mean, Amari Cooper is like a top six receiver, and he went for a fifth round.
Second round pick.
A two?
Per Schefter, yeah. Second round pick.
I don't know. I don't know what the Bears are doing. It's so weird. All right, listen.
I think Marty's right. They're trying. If this is your guy, you have to boost his confidence and make him look good. Obviously, give him some targets. Who's Justin Fields been? Mooney is nice, but now this gives him a shot, right?
Well, I know.
Fields Mooney a shot at developing a little bit.
That's about it that they got. Yeah, that's what it is. They're just focusing this year on Justin Fields, and they're going to give up a ton of points on defense because they just traded away the two best defensive players.
Yeah.
They figure they'll replace those in next year and try to get back at it.
I'm always on it because it's so rich every year, the wide receiver draft, right? I'm always like, just try to get lucky. But you still do have to get lucky, I guess, with the third round or whatever you're using. All these picks that the Bears have amassed. And now and then they go and trade one for Claypool. All right, let's take a quick break. Wow, let's do it. Talk about Caesars right now. Your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, it's on Caesars, up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code CZRFULL and place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer: free stays, game tickets, experiences, and more.
You must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Yes, you have to know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem in Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania, or if you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in Maryland, visit Maryland Gambling, mdgamblinghelp.org, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. Visit CONNEXontario.ca or call 1-866-531-2600 or text CONNEX to 247-247. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
All right, quick break, and we're back with our World Series Game 3 picks.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, I don't know if you guys noticed, but Game 3 was rained out last night.
I heard about that.
I was like, glad. I'm like, all right, this is so now they go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right? All three in Philly. And interestingly enough, the Phillies Astros game butts up against Thursday with the Texans Eagles game, also Philly Houston. So that is going to be.
I didn't even think of that.
But where is it? Is it in Houston, that game? So one will be in Houston and one will be in Philly.
right? I think, yeah, Philly, right. The Eagles are on the road. All right, anyway.
Well, Astros, what a mess that would be if those were going on at the same time, because if you've ever been to that sports complex, I mean, the stadiums and arenas are right next to each other. Same
in Philly?
Lot.
Yeah. In Philly, you say. Yeah, right. Yes. Houston, on the other hand, had no fans last Sunday, and there wasn't even an Astros game to use as an excuse. But anyway, Stros minus 125, plus 105 on the take back for the Phillies. Stros have to be kicking themselves. They blew a 5-0 lead in game one. Phillies come back and win in extras, and then the Astros win game two. So this rainout allows the Phillies to switch out Syndergaard for Ranger Suarez. Still Lance McCullers on the hill for the Astros. I like the Astros. Batting 339 over the last month against Southpaws, which Ranger Suarez is. They scored 5 off of Suarez a month ago in the first inning. Pena, Maldonado, Tucker all hit this guy. McCullers, on the other hand, has allowed 2 runs or fewer in 8 of his last 10. Give me the Astros 7-3 and the over hits. Sheck, what do you like tonight?
I so want to take the Phillies here because of what I said before it started. If Verlander blows game one, I mean, this career-long thing is gross stuff for a guy who otherwise would probably be at the top 10 of the last 50 years of starting pitchers.
But I think so. And yet now noted as the, and there's enough of a sample size, the worst game one pitcher of all time right now.
Yeah, right. It's terrible. And so I'm sure the Astros are a little spooked by his next start. But yeah, in the here and now, it's hard to go against McCullers. And the numbers you just provided are more evidence than I knew until you said them. But yeah, McCullers is the better pitcher. That's what baseball's all about, right? So I'll take the Astros in this one. But do think the Phillies are still going to get it. Maybe this is the last Stros win of the series.
Well, it's a big game for them because if they can steal this, the Phillies, then they have Nola in game 4 in a mismatch, which they'll be favored for that. Martin, which way are you going?
I'm taking the Phillies here because they get to avoid Noah Syndergaard because it rained. So that it's giving me the feeling that God is on the Philly side. Last wild card team in, and they're still playing baseball right now. There's only 2 teams left. There's Stranger Things afoot, and so I'm going with that.
Oh, this is your Stranger Things pick. That was a while ago. Anyway, yeah, they avoided Syndergaard. By the way, is the only Met to win a World Series game in the last 20 years. He won against the Royals, and then they hadn't won since they played the Yankees. Right, so yeah, almost 20 years. Jeez, how does this happen to baseball? Let's talk NBA. Weird start. For some teams, the 3-4 Warriors and 2-5 Nets are in action tonight, not playing each other, but Steve Nash fired. Martin, you're mad that you didn't get to bet him for first coach gone. I mean, 2 weeks in.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Basketball season starts. I'm in the throes of football. I got the pick'em going. I'm trying to maintain my dominance there. That started to slip. You know what it coincides with? Basketball season. My attentions are divided and split right now. And
you got distracted.
I haven't been able to focus 100% on either one. I would have seen the writing on the wall. Somebody's got to go, and it's almost always going to be the coach. You got Kyrie going on in press conferences and tweeting out Amazon links. All types of terrible things. Who's going to answer for that? Not Kyrie Irving. I'll tell you that right now. Somebody else. It was going to be Steve Nash.
Weird star check for Steve Nash. I know it was a dumb thing to say, but I thought he was like too famous to get fired, and certainly not 2 weeks into the season, right?
I agree. That you just said it exactly right. Too famous. That's Steve Nash they're firing. He's the problem. Not the cuckoo bird, Kyrie. I mean, what are they going to do about that? But this is the response, is to get rid of what appears to be level-headed Steve Nash. I don't get it, but I also revert back to what Marty said. Come on. Understand the moment. Would you, NBA? We don't have time for
that's true.
Big, you know, earth-shaking moves like this in November. We're just barely into November, don't you see? January, right. February, do it then.
Nets were 94-67 under Nash, which I guess is not great. Right, considering the team, and obviously they got swept in the first round last season by the Celtics. What were you going to say, Mark?
I just, you know, it just is. I mean, first of all, it's a great time to do it as the NFL trade deadline is swirling around, and 2 NBA stories have really gotten swept up. The Josh Primo story got completely swept up by Kyrie, and Steve Nash getting fired will get completely swept up by the NFL trade deadline. But also, I hope this doesn't get underreported. The first coach that the Nets were linked to by Shams and the rest of the, all these newsbreakers, the first coach that they're linked to, Ime Udoka. So Brooklyn may just be getting that much more intriguing going down the line, because they just seem to be collecting all
types. Oh, is that a thing? They could do that, Marty? That the, they could.
Woj tweeted that Boston would let him go. For Boston would let him go if another team, and it was reported that initially is like Ime Udoka is going to be suspended, like not essentially suspended, but if any other team was interested in hiring him, they would let him go. Which was like, why didn't you just fire him? And it made me think it was a legal thing.
That's amazing. That would be great.
What happened? I mean, again, short attention span, a lot of other games going on, sports and stuff, but. What happened with that story? So he's just on the shelf for the year, and none of the parties putting this furthering the story at all. It's just like he's okay with just sitting out the season. All of a sudden, and they're willing to trade him or let him go. Bizarre.
Well, okay, I know
he made a statement, so everything. Well,
he made a statement, and we made a statement, Mark. We said there's probably more to that story than we're hearing, but it seems like there's no more to that story than we're hearing. we might have heard it or not. If he's moving on potentially to a different team, maybe the Lakers and Nets get together and say, hey, let's form, I don't know, let's divvy up our assets here and make it so that at least one of us has a respectable team to put on the court. The Lakers at their first win of the season, they spray Darvin Ham with water in the locker room. Their over-under wins, Martin, at 38.5 to make the playoffs. The no is all the way up to -185. I know it's not happening because LeBron won't let it happen, but to have the worst record is 35-1. That would be fun.
You know, you say that. I mean, you look. Let's say, and hypothetically speaking, LeBron tweaks an ankle a week after the All-Star break and decides that, you know, he pulls a Kawhi where he's like, you know, I'm day to day for the rest of the year. Like, this team is a bad team. Dave, I still don't think they're making the playoffs. And I still think they lose 10 games before they win 5. That's my pet bet going on right now.
I'm just looking. Worst record, though, is what? 28 wins. What would they have to get? 24, 26 wins. They can't.
See, the thing about the Lakers is they're old and bad. Mm. Where like Oklahoma City is going to run into wins just because everybody on the team is 23 years old and younger. Right. Like they're going to accidentally just be up on a back to back. Like you see, San Antonio has just ran into some wins. The Lakers are not going to run into any wins like that.
Obviously,
but it doesn't make any.
Yeah. No, he'd have to get home. Anthony Davis, though, would have to be shelved, right? He would have to be not like it is every day at noon. You hear he's questionable for a game. He would have to – they'd have to shut him down, right?
Get to the bottom of this, Sal. I don't understand what gives here. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, and teams that have LeBron and Anthony Davis and the Nets roster are all bad. What gives? Meanwhile, Geno Smith is the belle of the ball. What in hell?
And it makes us nervous as fans and as gamblers. So you want to be able to count on things you can count on.
My
point.
Right. Yeah. Of course. Yeah, you need something dependable. It can't all be chaos. It's not enjoyable.
It's the most dependable thing of all, Dave. It's the most dependable thing of all.
Father Time. The Lakers not making the playoffs? Oh, Father Time.
Father Time. He's got like the days of LeBron taking you, me, and Sal to the NBA Eastern Conference Finals are gone. They're over. Like
you would have done well betting against Father Time and Tom Brady in the last few years. It just I guess it hits you. Meanwhile, you know who before last night had the most passing yards in the league? Tom Brady somehow. So now Burrow
is true. Passed
him. Yeah. I guess a lot of it's that check downs impossible. And his percentage is up. Yeah. But Burrow went ahead of him after last night. You know, he has 9 touchdowns and 1 interception. You wouldn't compare him to Mahomes, who has 20 touchdowns, but
parody sucks. How about that?
Who does?
I don't like it. I don't know if this is parody or
parody. Yeah.
What you put this on, but I do not like the coin flip nature of every game and increasingly in every sport. It is not, I don't find that satisfying at all that there's no math that allows you to, you do all the like, the team that lost coming back in prime time on the road the following week stuff. Like, I have to dig deep on those because whatever math I'm trying to apply ain't working. It just there's no sense to what's happening here.
I like
Aaron Rodgers can't win games. Aaron Rodgers is just a bum now. And Tom Brady's old. Aaron Rodgers is 39. That's you know, back half of his prime in the 21st century.
Whatever. Both these guys are top three for MVP last year, right? So you could apply an age and whatever, but they, you know, it's not like they were 15th best quarterback and now they're the 27th best quarterback.
What in hell is my question? What in hell?
Well, I liked how Kevin Hench phrased it, I think, a couple weeks ago on -3. He says it's called any given Sunday, not every given Sunday. Right. And that's what we're saying every week. It's rough. But listen, we're going to forge on. After the break, we're going to give our play of the day when we return. All right, here it is. So we have hockey, we have basketball, we have Maction tonight, check. This is part of, we're going to have football every single day for the next like 23 days or something going on here. There's a lot to choose from. What did I say? Did I miss anything? Basketball, hockey. Soon enough, we're going to have college basketball. Give us your play of the day.
Well, I'm going to the ice surface, both sides of hockey North America here. The Penguins. By the way, I said it on -3. You know how I give out the Sonic Award, the sports town whose fans have suffered the most.
Pittsburgh.
I might just cancel the rest of the year. I mean, what's left to be settled? Who's going to have a worse sports year than sports fans?
What's their record right now?
The Penguins suffered the heartbreaker against the Rags in springtime. Right. The Steelers are 2-6. The Pirates are the Pirates of the last 25 years. And Pitt football is an embarrassment. So there's nothing good. I'm going to say for one night at least, it turns around. I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Penguins at home, back now in the comfy environs on the banks of the Three Rivers, on the money line against the Bruins, and then the Flames hosting the Kraken. Parlay those two money line bets, +162 is the payout. Side note, I am once again, I told Mikey Meatballs the other day, for good news or bad, I'm back on the Calgary Flames. They're going to get to the Stanley Cup final this year. Man, that team is a brute.
Another side note, your 4-4 Penguins, Spaghetti and I try to tell you they're not making the playoffs. You could have gotten 3-1 odds on that.
I remain unconcerned about that, or at least I have bigger fish to fry right now. I'll get back to you come January. If they're still a .500 team, then I'll be worried.
All right. Martin, play today.
I'm going with the over 4.5 runs in the first 5 innings of tonight's baseball game. But as you were just saying that, I just thought about it. Dang, is it the split between how good Philly sports are right now and how bad Pittsburgh sports are right now? Has there ever been a larger stretch in a shorter distance?
Not in my lifetime, I don't think. Maybe 1980, the Phillies won the World Series. The Eagles went to the Super Bowl. The Sixers would have been good with Dr. J. And I don't think they had Moses Malone yet, but still were a good team. The Flyers were good. So, yeah, that would be the biggest.
Well, the Pirates must have been okay that year, right? It was after
they were okay in 80, but the decline had begun by 80 for the Steelers. Right. Well, Pitt football was. Anyway, but yes, Marty's point is accurate. But this might be the biggest distance between in favor of Philadelphia in my lifetime.
Martin, I thought you would go.
I'm sorry. Have been getting after. They got after Wheeler and they got after Nola and they get after lefties more than that with Suarez going. And they're 5-0. The Phillies are 5-0 at home, scoring 7 runs a game. So 4.5.
I like that pick. I like the over there. I thought you were going to try to figure out this Bulls Nets game. How do they react now? The Nets are home. It's 1.5.
Unless I think the team is going to win after they fire their coach, like they're trying to catch the dead cat bounce. But I don't have any faith in what the Nets got going
on. Well, that's why maybe I would go with the Bulls. That's what I'm thinking of, the +1.5. But anyway, I'm also sticking with baseball. Jose Altuve, after going 0-23, is hitting 4 straight. He has not knocked in a run. I think that happens tonight. Now, the fact that he leads off, you're forfeiting that first at bat, but you get +225. If and when he singles in Chaz McCormick. Check, you must like that. He goes by Chaz McCormick.
Chaz. Yeah, C-H-A-S. That's the smart play. It's the same thing as Richards. I don't know what they're doing. Like, I can handle Rick or Ricky, but if you're named Richard, go with Dick. You know, like that. Same thing. If you're named Charles, go Chaz. That's the classic.
I've never seen a Chaz in sports. Have you? I mean, not I'm, you, say, you, yeah. you'll call people, Chaz, and it's
no, I put that on them to try to help them out, and then they don't take my help. But yeah, right. No, I don't think we have seen
a World Series roster in 2006 with both a Chaz and a Dick.
You did? Wow.
Chaz Sims and Dick Morales. Yep. True story.
If I had to do over again, maybe one of my male sons, Dick Damashek. That's pretty
good. What do you mean do it over again? You will. You'll have another one.
You're right. You're right. Over again. Yeah. Act 3 coming up soon.
No Mr. Lister tonight, right? Is Spotify's taking the week off? Or is that?
Yeah, it's not our fault. Me and Eddie Spaghetti are ready to roll after a banner, if controversial, episode. It's a shame that Harry had to sully what was a grand event, but we'll get back on track.
What a jerk.
Next Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, be there for our list-based sports trivia show. Sal and Harry honored us with their presence last week. It was a good time. You can, in fact, still go back and listen to it. Mr. Lister.
Yes, I'm going to put that up there. I'm going to retweet that because that's an episode. Well, they're all worth listening back to. But yeah, Mr. Lister, you had Andy Staples on -3. You're going to have Kevin Hench on Thursday. You guys talk Georgia. Well, we'll get on this Thursday. But yeah, Georgia now down to 8.5. It was 12.5, by the way. But Tennessee.
It was? Here.
Well, like 3 weeks ago. The look at
it. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but
great breakdown by one of the best college football guys there is in Andy Staples on that Tennessee-Georgia game. Really dug deep on that one. If you're interested in maybe the game of the college football season.
Let me tell you something. That Nolan Smith is out for the year. Dog's number one pass rusher. That could be big. Could be big in that game. He is out with the ACL, I believe. Martin, lemon pepper parlay with Will Blackman. Do me a favor, please. Ask him how far he thinks he could throw a football because we've not had him weigh in. I have no idea. It's going to be interesting.
Ask him how far he can throw a football. I'm setting right now the over under at, he's going to say he can throw 42 and a half yards. Which way are you guys going?
I'm going to go under. I'm going to, this is like my stupid thing with all the preseason futures for the over unders. I think I'm going to bet under on everybody because we're not throwing a Nerf around, Shaq. Have you held like a regulation size football and try to toss
it? It's hard.
Good way. Yeah. Yeah. It's hard.
It's a wake-up call. It's smooth and, it's kind of like trying to throw a big rock. It's hard. Yeah. There's no flex in it when you grab a football. Yeah. It's harder than,
Someone's blowing out their shoulder. Someone's going to do it. We're going to do this. And on their third attempt, I think we should do 3 attempts, right? You take the longest one, and then that we're going to have injuries all across the board on the Extra Points podcast network.
I'm just looking to beat 32 since Sal said that, or 32 and a half.
33
and a half. 33 and a half. Okay. That's all that's my goal.
No, but I think that's high. I think that's high now for all of us. I think I've given some thought. So, Martin, where do you put yourself? We're going to do this next week.
You tried it. That's good. That, you know what that says to me, Sal? You did some side work. You saw, you wanted to see what you could do.
No, I was tossing long with my son with a Nerf. And I was like, wow, this is, I might get there with a Nerf. So, and then you look at a regulation size ball, totally different story. So we'll check that out. Yeah.
A regulation, this can't be right. An official NFL football is $169 on Amazon.
What?
No, is it really?
That's I typed in the, because, the official ball got the Duke on it or whatever.
Right.
So I thought, let me go get the real deal Holyfield. Because, Meatballs gave away a little bit of the secret that I got a rifle, but I didn't want to give him too much. I'm not.
Oh, really? All right.
I might not be able to practice with the real deal here. I might just have to get a.
We got something similar, don't we? Close enough? Or does the loser have to purchase one of these balls? Is that how we should do this?
I think we get close enough with this one.
All right.
I would say this, Dave. You're talking about win now. Remember this. The Dallas Cowboys started an entire dynasty by getting too many picks back for Herschel Walker. Remember that when you're looking at Seattle and all these? Well, that doesn't make any sense. This one player. Maybe the Panthers just did it with Christian McCaffrey.
Next president of the United States, Herschel Walker.
There you go.
You're right.
Right. He might be a senator.
That was also before. I mean, I hear you completely, and I like to try to apply like what happened 4 decades ago. But like just to bring it all the way back to where we started with my Pittsburgh Steelers, these comps about like, hey, give Kenny Pickett a break because Terry Bradshaw threw blank picks in his rookie. Like, not applicable. Also, what happened pre-free agent era is not relevant here. But I hear you. I guess I think it is at minimum, it gives a ray of hope. If you're a Detroit Lions fan, what are you looking at this point? You got duped again by August, by Hard Knocks. Like, dude, I like this guy. Grit. You got God again. So now they have to kick it down the road and make you ignore what's happening right now and get pie in the sky about the future. You know,
we'll go over this Thursday, but they're 5-5 against the Packers, the reeling Packers, and who come to town this week. So it might not be. I don't know. Now we'll get thrown for another loop when the Packers lose that one. But anyway, yes, Lemon Pepper Parlay, Will Blackman, Martin Weiss, -3, Sheck, Kevin Hench. Tomorrow, go listen to Andy Staples. We have Megan Fun of Sports. Oh, Waiver Wired, Spaghetti, and Jen Piacenti. Jump on today, I believe, against all odds. We're going to go over some NBA futures and Game 3 today. What am I missing? Covered in Glory. Lots of stuff out there on the Extra Points Podcast Network. And a reminder to everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.